step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 376. I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined today by my lovely co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro. You're listening to us on KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM, streaming live as usual at koop.org. Remember, if it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air because we paint outside the lines.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
You go glance at a time, a small advance.
It is Wednesday, August 31st, 2016. This is week two of co-ops and membership drive, so get out those credit cards and those telephone dialing fingers. We also have our guests, Vortex, production of Atlantis, and O Dragon Theater Company, and they're going to enjoy a time of the Songs of the New World, Robert Brown. I'm not being able to speak today. And of course, we're going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, Chicago, New York, London, Istanbul, and Constantinople. We'll be right back.
Midsummer day, a moment when...
Okay, do you recognize that voice?
Was it Gene Wilder?
It is Gene Wilder. So may he rest in peace. We're going to talk about him in a second. But before we do that, I'm going to check in with Nicole.
Hello, Nicole.
Oh, before we do that, we're going to check in with Tracy Schultz.
Yes. Hello.
Tracy Schultz, welcome here. Look, it's the three kids playing together.
We rarely get
to do that.
Yeah, it's a real pleasure to be up here. I'm up here in part because it's our fall membership drive.
Feel free to join
the conversation. He was dancing to Gene Wilder a moment ago.
So I want to thank Kim Simpson, another wonderful international folk bazaar.
Kim's music makes me happy.
Me too. And I also want to thank Nick Mayo, who we finally confirmed with one another that each other exists.
I know. You two finally met. So you thought I just was like...
I thought you made him up.
He was my alter ego, Nick.
He was just too wonderful to be true.
I just wanted to walk around going, Nick and Nick.
Yeah, it was... But there he was.
He was.
In the flesh and blood.
And he'll be back.
And he will be back. We haven't told him yet, but we're going to make him part of our team.
No, I told him. He just didn't answer me.
Well, whatever.
But he's going to be part of the team.
We're still going to make him
part
of our team.
Now the pressure's on because we've announced it.
So let's introduce the rest of the folks that are here. So I'm going to get you guys to stand up and just steal Tracy's microphone. Chelsea Manicieri's here.
Hello.
Kristen Hall is here.
Hello.
Jeff Chamberlain.
How you doing?
I love that they're all sharing the mic. They're not moving it, and they are of varying sizes. Kristen is, well, Chelsea and Jeff are of similar size, and Kristen is slightly
but it's very,
not
they
the
were,
same.
They were doing circles like, it grab was, your partner, do-si-do.
Hello!
Carl
hello.
Gonzalez.
Hello.
Melissa Vogt is here.
Vogt, yay! Hello!
I totally mispronounced your name.
That's all right, but you got it.
And Tyler Mabry, scream out.
Hey!
Okay, here's how we make the sausage here on
Offstage and on the air.
I'm trying to motion to Chad and Bonnie to come on in, but they're ignoring me. So we're gonna use this opportunity to test and see if this microphone works. Welcome, Bonnie Cullum.
Hi.
Hold on, right on the microphone. In the microphone.
Here I am.
Yeah,
oh, it works. It's
and
exciting.
Chad Salvata, hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Yay, they had some car troubles or there was some traffic. Amazing.
No, it wouldn't start.
You know, that's the problem I have
gremlins.
Most mornings.
They do that sometimes.
All right, so we had a quasi-opening in across the pond that's sort of interesting. Oh, wait, before we do that, we have to talk about Gene Wilder.
Yes.
What a passing, but what a glorious life he had and how much joy he brought to so many people.
And it's funny if you really take a poll and you ask someone like what's your favorite movie or your favorite moment, everyone's is different. That's okay. So cool.
Let's take a poll. Tyler, what's your favorite Gene
in so many different ways?
Gene Wilder.
You got to talk about
Blazing Saddles, Bonnie.
My brother.
I guess I have to say Willy Wonka cuz
Willy
that
Wonka
just kind of did it for me.
Chad, I did not see Willy Wonka till I was an adult. I don't know why.
Really?
Willy Wonka.
Yeah, Willy Wonka. Melissa?
Haunted Honeymoon. I played it over and over when I was a child.
Get out of town.
Love Haunted Honeymoon.
Carl?
I have to say Young Frankenstein. It's my favorite.
Yes. Okay.
It's close, but I think actually Silver Streak. Yeah.
Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, I got
Young Frankenstein all the way.
Yeah, it's going to be between Blazing Saddles and Young Frankenstein. Oh, what about you, Nicole?
No, see, for me, it'd be in between Blazing Saddles and Willy Wonka.
Okay, and yeah. And Tracy Schultz? Haircut, by the way, is lovely. Very handsome.
I wanted to say how suave and sophisticated he looks over here.
Thank you. Thank you very much. No, I would probably have to go as like with Silver Streak, just because.
Silver Streak.
Richard Pryor, Gene Wilder.
They had a wonderful, I was listening to an interview.
Anything with the two of them was awesome sauce.
Terry Gross replayed an interview with him. He's actually very serious on Terry Gross. He was like deathly serious, but they played a very interesting scene about when he was doing the blackface in the bathroom. And it was really originally written that a white guy comes into the bathroom and Richard Pryor was having major problems with it from a activist standpoint, and mm-hmm. and he's the one that came up with, you know, have a black guy come in and talk about rhythm. But Gene Wilder did, he's known mostly for movies and mostly movies, but he is a Broadway ex.
He's
the last one he did was in 1964, but he did The Compliant Lover, Mother Courage and Her Children, which I don't know that one.
It's a great title.
Cuckoo's Nest, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, a show called Love, and then there was this wonderful show that Nicole and I looked at, I'd never heard of. It's called The White House. Has anybody heard of this film, or this show?
It looks fascinating. Lisa
one preview, 23 performances, and it closed. It had Helen Hayes in it. It had a cast of about 10, and each person played about
anywhere from 10 to 15 different characters.
Presidents and people around the presidents. It was all taken from letters. And it was a play with music.
It was taken from letters and writings and documents. And I'm like, interestingly, I was like, I'm surprised no one has done some stage readings or weird things these days.
May he rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
So
touched a lot of lives.
In London, they opened...
No, you're supposed to say, in London, step in time. You're in England.
Okay. In London, I'm hoping I'm giving that reading right. In London, they opened Rodgers and Hammerstein, and somebody named Stephen Sondheim did a little piece of this called Allegro.
Who's that dude?
I don't know. At the Southwark Playhouse. It's playing through September 10th if people want to get it. It's one of the littler produced Rodgers and Hammerstein pieces.
The little bitty one.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it.
Did you hear it?
I'm zipping through this section because we need to talk to our guests. They're great. What were you going to say?
You didn't comment or send me a message. We talked about Esteban last week for you. Did you hear about a secret reading of the new musical he's
working
on?
Yes, I did. I think I knew about that.
Oh, well, we didn't talk about it. I thought, you know, we've been together all day and nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
You love the Esteban.
I like the Esteban.
Okay.
Who doesn't like the Esteban?
I don't know.
But speaking of Esteban, but really Lin-Manuel Miranda, today, right around this time, maybe right about now, will be the last Ham for Ham.
It's the final countdown.
So they're stopping the Ham for Ham. They're threatening to bring it back, and they keep talking.
I like it. They're threatening to bring it back.
Well, it's a great idea, and it's funny. One of the podcasts I listen to talk about it. It's a great marketing tool.
Absolutely.
And it is, and I think it turned into that, but that's not why it was created.
Nude.
I mean, it was really created for that Lin-Manuel Miranda wanted to entertain and thank the fans that were willing to stand out there in the long lines to try to get tickets. And Carl Gonzalez was one of those people once upon a time standing in lines, right?
Yes. My wife, Lacey Cannon Gonzalez, and I stood for 6.5 hours.
And were you successful in getting a ticket?
We were successful.
I saw all those Facebook posts with smiling faces greeting ear to ear.
Smiling and very, very tired.
And you look at all the jealous faces in this room. Was it all that? Was it all that in a box of rocks?
It was easily one of, if not the best thing I've ever seen live. It was incredible.
Wow. That's pretty...
When is that 6 hours? Not me. But I'm so glad you did. And
you did standing room, right?
We did do standing
room.
Yeah,
see, that's the other thing that I sort of snob out around.
If we hadn't made it in, we would have been changed people after that. We would have, like, lost faith in everything.
the universe knew, and it took it answered your prayers.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I want to just talk about one little quickie thing. Oh, back to Ham for Ham. So the other thing that they kept talking about in the podcast, they kept saying the YouTube version will still be out, but I don't know what the YouTube
version is.
Anybody? All right.
No. But I liked that Carl actually looked like the thinker for a moment with his hand.
Well, I think there was one where Jonathan Groff was doing it for like two weeks or something. I wasn't sure if that was what they were talking about.
I forgot
different
the
people have switched
the gentleman
in.
It's been when Lynn left, it was taken over by somebody. Oh, I didn't print
another
it out.
Another gentleman.
It was taken over by another gentleman. I can't remember his name.
He was on Book of Mormon. I'm blanking out on his name.
Book of Mormon. Heard of that one.
No, I don't remember. I don't know. I'm not going to say
Carl and I, not that this is the Carl Gonzalez show, but we were talking before we went on the air about One Fiddler on the Roof. And we both saw the latest version with Danny Burstein. And we also both saw the tour that came through here with Harvey Fierstein. Anybody else see it? Yeah, well, y'all were the lucky ones.
Yeah.
Carl and I lost that gamble because it did not work at all. But the Danny Burstein thing was very good. But what I found interesting, and we both went to see it, and looking at the playbill, one of the characters, Mordecai, who plays the bartender, was one Michael Bernardi. And when I saw the show, my first Broadway show we've talked about on the show, in 1969, it starred one Herschel Bernardi. And I thought, I wonder if they're related.
El Papa.
And Michael Bernardi Papa. Went on as Tevye last week.
Wait, and you know, when I saw Michael Bernardi on here, and I'm like, wait, isn't that Tevye? He's young to be playing Tevye. You don't think?
No. He's in his 50s.
He does not look it. Let me just turn this picture around to everyone.
I'm guessing he's in his 50s.
I'm sorry. Because
I'm guessing we're around the same age.
But that guy is not in his 50s.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Whoa. You're right.
Yeah, there's a lot of what? Yeah, yeah, sorry.
Well, no. But here's the deal. Tevye is not that old. I mean, if you think about in like the real person, his eldest daughter is 19, right? And people were married young and having kids by age 20, so he had to be like just about 40.
He still could be playing model.
All right, never mind.
It's like, I don't know. Well, he looks a little young.
They do have a thing called
makeup.
But
I think it's cool.
Oh, you know what? Here it is. He's 31 years old.
31.
Right there. Zing. Anyway, there's an article about it.
Wait a minute. His oldest daughter is 16 and he's 31?
No, not him. It's Tevye.
Okay.
Oh, but you know what? The actors don't actually play their anatomical age. I don't know if you knew that.
Is there makeup? Maybe there's makeup.
That's
involved.
What makes acting.
Yeah. No, I still think the whole thing's cool. But yeah, see, he is young.
Here's what
crazy.
I think about No, you weren't crazy. So, you know
can
what?
I still say Mazel Tov, Michael.
You know what I say?
What?
512-472-5667.
What was that, Lisa?
512-472-5667 or KOOP.org. Tracy, why do my listeners want to take time out of their busy day? And I must say that we are certified organic.
For sure.
We are certified organic.
Certified organic?
We are certifiably organic. So, thank you, Tracy.
My pleasure.
It's one of those days.
I invent words as I go along.
No, I like it. We are sort
no,
of
no, we really are. We're not making fun of you. We're laughing at ourselves. We love you, Tracy Schultz.
We do. We're going to sort of skim the surface on everything, but there was an interesting article about Lisa Loomer, who wrote...
Are you going to say Lisa Sheps?
Lisa Sheps, there is. But she wrote a play about Roe versus Wade, which sounds sort of interesting. And there's a lot of information in there about, you know, the woman, Roe, because it wasn't real. That's not her real name. Her real name is something else. But she turned into be a right-to-life person. Mm. Yes. Which I find quite interesting. Mm-hmm. But there's a play about it, which sounds really, really interesting. And it's a two-person play. You've got the person playing Sarah Weddington, who is the attorney that argued the case in the Supreme Court, who I have met, who's a wonderful, wonderful person. Yeah. Bonnie, you look like you're itching to talk.
Bonnie looks like she's got... Oh.
You look like you're itching to talk.
She's getting closer because she's drawn into your topic.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. It's a fascinating story. Norma McCorvey is the woman that is the row, and they stand on opposite sides of the stage, and they basically argue the case again in many ways. It sounds very, very interesting.
It does sound interesting. Where is that? What's that?
It's at the Arena Stage in Washington, D.C.
Interesting.
No, wrong. It's headed to the Arena Stage. Where is it? I don't know where it is. I didn't. Oregon Shakespeare Festival.
That's fascinating, though, especially with people that are still with us, alive, having a dramatic portrayal of their lives.
Yeah, yep. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
We call that cool stuff, Tracy.
It is.
Cool stuff.
It's pretty cool.
And did you hear who's going in as Shug Avery in Color Purple?
There's a lot of it. You know, yes, but...
I thought you would have loved
no,
this.
No. I'm not upset. I was just about to say anything Color Purple is cool, though.
Well,
I don't know if I could get really angry with a lot of people.
Well, Jennifer Holliday is going to play Shrug Avery.
Shug
Avery.
Push the button.
And everybody will know that she won the Tony for Effie in Dreamgirls.
Jennifer
Holliday played Effie in the film version of Dreamgirls.
Jennifer Hudson.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute. No.
And then Jennifer Hudson. I mean, and Jennifer.
You're on the right.
Oh my God, help me.
Holiday original cast Dreamgirls. Hudson movie. Hudson revival Color Purple playing Celie. Now Shug Avery is Holiday with. The Hudson already left, though, so it won't be Hudson and Holiday.
Crazy.
But I got it for you.
Anyway, that's it. And then I want to clear something up. I listened to last week's show, and I was very clear in sending you all the...
You did not send number three.
I sent so many important criminal activities that are happening on Broadway.
I did. I had my Law & Order soundbite. I was excited.
And you just said this phantom producer did this... thing about a person who possibly did a thing with no facts.
That's I'm not exactly to... what I said. I said, Lisa sent me a third story and it was so good, but I don't know it. But this is what she said. I couldn't find the article. So,
okay. So, there will be a link in the show notes.
Who was the dude?
Roland Shaw.
Okay.
Is a theater agent, an ex theater agent. He was charged with stealing money about this scheme, and it was the story of the opera singer Kathleen Battle, and it was going to star Lupita Nyong'o.
Okay, and it was going to be at the booth, and then
it was
going to
be
Netflix.
At the booth and
I
on Netflix.
Those facts,
and
I just didn't know the dude of the show.
$165,000.
They were mystery shares. Yeah. He was selling.
That's amazing. Anyway, so he spent the money on. $23,000 in credit card debt, $18,000 in rent, and $10,000 for food, alcohol, and entertainment.
You know, you should have been doing a lot more illegal activity if you're going to, like, risk it all. I want to know what's... I can't even say on air what I want to know it was for, but, like, shouldn't you be using...
Okay, we're going to end with a quiz. And well, you know, rent in New York, $18,000 probably paid for half a year,
a
quarter of a year. All right, here's the quiz. Are y'all ready? Everybody's playing.
Would you like a drum roll?
No.
Okay. How did you do on this one today?
I did 3 out of 5.
Okay.
Okay. So, Kate Mulgrew, who starred in Equus in 2008, is famous for which TV sci-fi? Anybody can do it without... Multiple choice, yes.
Star Trek.
Which
one? You gotta
one?
Say which one.
Oh, shoot. Enterprise, I think?
Okay,
no.
You're wrong.
Nope.
Who's anybody got a better one?
No.
Voyager.
Voyager, thank you. Okay, I got that one right, which is amazingly enough.
What was her name? Kate
Mulgrew.
Yeah, who was
also
was her,
in...
What was her captain's name? Sorry.
Crimshaw.
Oh, I used to remember.
Shruggerhead.
Janeway.
Thank you.
I was close.
She's fantastic in Orange is the New Black, too.
She is. She plays Red. Okay. You were born with your legs apart. They'll send you to the grave in a Y-shaped coffin. Name the Joe Orton play this line comes from. And I'll give you I'm guessing we need choices. Loot, Entertaining Mr. Sloan, and What the Butler Saw.
I don't know, but I'd like it to be What the Butler Saw.
And I said Entertaining Mr. Sloan. Anybody?
I'll take the butler.
Yeah, it was the butler.
The butler did it.
This one I will not give you multiple choice, and if you get this wrong, you have to leave. The Tony Awards are named in honor of... Really?
Tony Randall. I'm just kidding.
You know.
No, I was. I know it was a woman, but I don't remember. Antoinette.
Antoinette Perry.
Antoinette Perry. Yes, thank
I'm
you.
So okay. I'm surprised. I thought everybody would have known that. Maybe it's because I knew it. No. And if I figure if I know it, anybody's got
to. I knew
it
wasn't Tony Randall. That was a joke.
Okay, this is another one. I'm not going to give you the. I knew it was a joke.
Okay, I was just making sure.
This is another one. I'm not going to give you the choices for. I have always depended on the kindness of strangers. What Tennessee Williams play is that from?
Could you repeat that, please?
I have always depended on the kindness of strangers.
Nice blend.
All right, we'll just go right through.
You do that so well.
I know.
Well, thank you. Who wrote the popular comedy Hobson's Choice? So popular, I don't know it. Anybody?
Lisa Shapps.
Oh, Merton Hodge, Melville Baker, or Harold Brighouse? Brighouse.
Say those names again. I'm going to say which one I like best.
Morton Hodge, Melville Baker, Harold Brighouse.
I pick Melville.
I'm going to go with Melville, too, the middle one.
Harold.
Harold, huh?
All right, so we're gonna take a quick break and come back. We'll listen to a little bit of Allegro. And tell me if you can recognize the Benanti in this song.
Joe, the older you grow, the harder it is to know what to think, what to do, where to go.
Well, good night, Joseph.
Well, good night. Oops, stop. Oh my gosh. we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Shapps and Nicole Shiro and Tracy Schultz. We are here talking to loads of people. We're going to switch gears and talk directly to the Vortex. But in the meantime, let's take just one moment, get a little quick telephone number in. And
yeah, that's right. 512-472-5667. If you're a fan of co-op radio, let us know by giving us a call at that number. Operators are standing by. We could use your financial support, and they'll tell you all about how you can make a contribution to Offstage and On the Air. 512-472-5667.
Thank you, Tracy. Okay, so we have from the Vortex, lovely friends of the show have been here. That you practically live here. Chad, why don't you come over here to this microphone over here while I introduce Bonnie Cullen.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. Artistic director and director of this piece?
Yes.
Lovely.
Yes, this is my big show this year.
And your big show, it's a really big shoe.
It is.
And Melissa Vogt?
Hello, hello.
Hello. And you want to introduce the person sitting with you?
Why, yes. I have with me Chandra, sorceress of Lemuria.
She is gorgeous.
I was like, I kind of like her.
Yeah, you like her. But she's pretty evil. But you like her.
But you like her.
I kind of like evil. Isn't that okay?
Yeah, yeah. She's kind of like. She reminds me of like.
She's so bad.
Bowie.
She's so good.
You know what?
She's like Bowie evil.
It's the time of the fallen protagonist these days anyway.
Yeah.
And Chad Salvata. Hi, Chad. Welcome
Hello.
Back.
Hello, Lisa.
And Chad, you wrote the music. I'm guessing.
Yes, I did.
Guess good.
The music and the libretto.
And the libretto. So tell us about the libretto. What's the story?
I'll let Bonnie tell the story.
Oh, man. Well, you know, it's about Atlantis, right?
Yes.
So everybody knows about Atlantis, the lost city of Atlantis. Well, this is Chad's mythic take on that place. And it's a magical time. We discover that the Atlanteans have become warmongers and religious zealots, and they have harnessed some red energy, which is a non-renewable energy source, that must be harvested from the Great Kraken. So every 100 years they have to go take the eye of the Great Kraken, thus killing it, and they're down to their last Kraken. And so they're fighting with the Lemurians, with this sorceress, Chandra, and over this last Kraken eye. And ultimately they bring on the annihilation surge and the demise of all the civilizations with just a little bit of hope at the very end. Everybody
just,
dies.
Just the tiniest
Everybody
bit of
Everybody dies.
Hope.
I mean, it's Atlantis, right? Everybody has to die.
And we introduced Melissa's friend, who I already forgot her name.
Chandra.
Chandra, who is a puppet.
Yes.
And so are there many puppets in the show?
There are over 50 puppets.
Oh, my.
There are 6 main characters, which are tabletop puppets. But there are puppets varying from like little teeny tiny half a foot size and even less than that to larger than the theater can hold.
Larger than the, tell us about that. What does that mean?
Well, the Kraken is a colossus, so you only see maybe bits
and pieces of it.
I have a question. Do y'all like saying the word Kraken as much as I do?
Yeah,
because
totally.
Once I say it, I'll say it for like 5 days in a row in the house.
Yes, we use it
do
every
you release
day
it
around
sometimes
the theater.
Too?
We do. We release the Kraken. That's we awesome. Talk about the Kraken. We have a casual conversation about Kraken.
There's Kraken
and
crew.
There's Kraken
and this
every...
is why I voted for Buster McCracken for mayor of I just want to get so a little while late, earlier we got Kristen to choose a number between 1 and 54 and she chose number 18. Shall we see what that is?
Let's see what it is.
Hi, I'm Noel Parrott and I'm in Billy Elliot the Musical. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin.
We got Billy
you
Elliot.
You picked the youth yeah. of the future.
And yesterday we got Robert Mayne again. He's become quite popular.
Well, it was funny because, you know, Nick was in South Pacific on Broadway and worked with some mm-hmm. of the tour. Was the only guy
didn't know. Didn't know. Robert
He's
Mayne.
He's like, it's the one guy I don't know.
It's the one guy I don't know. So we're back to the McCracken. Back to the Kraken.
The Crissity Kraken.
Is it sung through or is the music part of it as background, or
it's a puppet opera, so it's all sung.
A popra.
A popra.
Actually, it's not a popra because that's a real thing, isn't it?
That's right.
It's a puppet opera. So, if we were to play a little bit of that music in the background, which track should I choose? I've got a choice of two.
The first track, "Dawn of the Great Hunt." It's with dawn, and they're about to go get the Kraken's eye, leaving the harbor of Atlantis.
And this is it. We're listening to it in the background.
That's right.
It's lovely. And I'm assuming it keeps building from here?
It does.
Yeah. Oh, let's listen to a little.
Touching the sky and kissing the ocean.
I was going to let it play behind us for a while, but it didn't really, it needed to be listened to, didn't
yes.
it? Is that actually sung live on stage?
Yes, it is.
Oh, yes. Like everything is sung live, and there are 16 of us.
My.
And
That's a big group.
Yes. Well, there are a lot of puppets. And some of these, like the puppet that I'm holding, Chandra, takes two people to operate her. There are other puppets that take three people to operate. There are ships and skyships and menageries, and it's crazy times in Puppet City. So,
wow.
So the singers are operating the puppets.
It's really the biggest spectacle we've ever done because it has so many sets and so many characters, and we can barely fit 16 people on stage at the Vortex, but we're
including
really...
including the puppets
but,
now.
But it's really more like, you know... 70
yeah.
right with a puppet.
That's what I'm thinking.
And then all the sets, and like Melissa said, there's a battleship and a skyship and a sunship. These are very large pieces of scenery that are miniatures that Anne-Marie Gordon has made. So they're little tiny compared to the theater, but when you put all of that together on stage, I feel like we're playing a giant game of Tetris for an hour.
And is it are all the puppets human controlled, or are some of them controlled with the magic of theater and the deus ex machina?
Well, I guess the all of the puppets have to be operated by humans.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a skyship that flies, and we have a sun and a moon that flies. So those are up in the ceiling. But
still, people are touching them and moving them.
They are.
And,
it is very puppet.
And cool. Melissa, you're in it, I'm assuming?
I am in it.
Who do you
play? Chandra. And I also help operate Mera, the Queen of Mermaidia.
So the puppets are... So are there any human characters? Or are... I mean, I know... Are there any...
And she looked at you no. like, no,
you know what
why
I'm,
would
you
there
know what
be?
I'm trying to say.
I understand what
you're
saying.
You're operating a puppet.
No, it's 100% puppet.
It has 100% puppet.
100% of the time. Right.
Yeah.
I don't remember you guys doing a lot of puppetry before. Is this a relatively new thing?
We've never done anything like this. The puppets that we've had on stage before have been, you know, appearances in some other show or like with the Chimpanauts, we had giant monkeys, and in some other shows we've had smaller hand puppets, but they've always been an associated character, not the main thing.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, it's a hugely ambitious, and we have created all the puppets from scratch. So
you've conquered all the elements, so why not conquer puppets? You had the piles of dirt and water.
That's right.
Why not a puppet? Why not? It sounds so simple.
Well, Chad was like, puppet opera. And I'm like, okay. But I didn't know he was going to write a cast of thousands. I was sort of like, what?
What were you thinking, Chad?
I wasn't thinking.
So we see Chandra here, and she's really a gorgeous puppet. Really, really well put together. Were all the puppets created by one person, one puppet master, or was there
No, and you'll see in the program there's about a million people that have worked on these puppets.
I think you're exaggerating.
Oh no, am I?
Like maybe 30.
That's a lot.
Yeah. It's a lot of people.
Close to a million.
Close to a million in, you know, theater speak, that's a million people.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So Chad did the production design, so he drew the drawings of all the puppets, and then Connor Hopkins and Caroline Reck of Treble Puppet and Glass Half Full came in and consulted with us on how to best build them all. And Connor did a lot of the understructure for the big puppets, but Melissa has done most of the finishing and made them as gorgeous as they are.
She's
along
beautiful.
Along with those 30 other people.
Both Melissa and the puppet.
Things. Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
So when do you... You're not open yet, correct?
We open on Saturday.
You open on Saturday, and how long do you play?
A month.
A month. So that you close on the...
We close on a Saturday, too.
24th.
The 24th.
Yeah, Saturday to Saturday.
Awesome. And where can folks go to get more information?
It's vortexrep.org.
Vortexrep.org. And I am so happy y'all came on the show. We love having you guys
Thank
here.
You.
We really
Best
do.
Of luck.
By the way, Bonnie looks like she's going to bust out some Peggy Lee today. I love it. You're totally right.
And I'm really, really proud of this show. It's unlike anything we've ever done before.
It is.
I love it. And when you say this is one of the biggest spectacles you've done some big spectacles
I've done
in that
huge
space.
Spectacles.
This is truly the biggest spectacle show that I've ever done at the Vortex. And I've done a lot of shows.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you guys for joining us here.
Thanks for having us.
And forgive me for my music choice going out, but I couldn't help it. That was Bonnie Cullum, Chad Salvata, and Melissa Vogt of Vortex's production of Atlantis, playing September 3rd through 24th. For more information, vortexrep.org. And, well, I just couldn't help it.
Hail Atlantis.
4725667, KOOP.org. Let's show this station that the theater community supports them.
Absolutely. I mean, if the theater community, we're the people definitely coloring outside the lines. You can come color with us here at KOOP.org.
We are. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do something crazy.
What?
I'm skipping local.
Oh, my.
Oh no.
I'm skipping local.
You're living on the edge.
In terms of the birthdays, I'll just go through that and say...
bon anniversaire.
Bon anniversaire, Dori Sherry.
Dori Sherry
was born
in
2005. 1905, Sanford Meisner. Who studies Meisner in this room? Yeah, so all the hands raised.
I love that everybody
I'm with
raised Chris, their Chris, hands
Kristen
and gave
sort of did the,
with their head.
Yeah, that's me. I'm a not a Meisner
person. Who was a raise
person.
A hand, shake
William Saroyan. I can't pronounce his name.
Bon anniversaire.
Buddy Hackett.
Buddy Hackett.
Yeah, he's not.
He's amazing.
Okay. He was amazing.
Oh my God, you made Tracy's amazing. Day with Buddy Hackett.
Yeah.
But like, do you remember the movie musical he was in? And
oh, my mind's blanking. I can't think of it right off
76 Trombones?
Oh, of course.
And do you know the song he sang?
There's Trouble.
With Jack Palance. It's like...
Shapoopy.
Shapoopy. Oh, my goodness.
Shapoopy. Richard Gere was born in 1949. Deborah Gibson... Who I know is Debbie Gibson.
Yeah. Oh, she'll correct you. It's Deborah.
And then locally,
honey, you're Debbie.
Brian Schneider and Anthony Ellison's birthday is today.
Ah.
Tomorrow, Shannon Grounds of The Shrewd.
Oh.
And Merritt Haynes' birthday is on Saturday.
Saturday.
Saturday. And then I would have played I'll Go Home with Bonnie Jean.
Go home.
Then you know that's the musical. The that's the bane of my existence.
Well, I know, and I knew you didn't like it, and that's why no. I chose it.
And yet I've done it like 5 or 6 times.
But it is the birthday of Alan J. Lerner, of Lerner and Lowe fame.
He's finding Heather on the Hill.
Yeah. So we're going to take a tiny little break and come right back with Songs for a New World, because okay. it's a new world.
It is.
And I will tell you this, that our radio has no antibiotics, no overused hormones.
It's all organic radio.
And it's all organic, and we color outside the lines. So please, 512-472-5667. Do it now. Yes. So let's introduce our next guest. It's the group from O Dragon Theater. And we have Carl Gonzalez, who's the director of this, along with his wife, Lacey Cannon Gonzalez, who is not able to join us here. We have the musical director, Tyler Mabry, here.
Hello.
Tyler, you've been on the show before, haven't you?
I have been, for Persephone.
That's right. I'm going to turn your microphone as up as I can. Tyler is behind a keyboard and can't get too close to his microphone, so please don't yell at him and say, why weren't you close to the microphone? Lisa told you to. and performers in the show, Jeff Chamberlain.
Hey.
Jeff, have you been on the show before?
I have not. I've only been in Austin for about 6 months.
That's what I thought. That's why I didn't recognize you. But my memory is so bad that that you could have said you've been on a whole bunch of times, and I would. And Kristen Hall, we've never met.
Hello. No, not at all. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. And Chelsea Manassieri.
Hello, hello.
Who I have as Chelsea Lee here. So if I call you Chelsea Lee, it's because I'm reading.
That's okay.
She knew Bonnie was going to sing Peggy Lee, so she was like channeling. She knew she'd be on the mic. Now it's her turn to sing it.
See?
So full Songs to the New World, Jason Robert Brown. Carl, what is this show?
This show is actually a song cycle of some songs that Jason Robert Brown wrote that didn't fit into other musicals. Mm-hmm. So he decided to put them together and write an additional number to connect them. And they're connected by that all the songs are about a moment in your life when everything changes forever.
So there's not really a narrative. This is a basic song cycle.
Right.
Okay. Is it how is it staged? Are we dancing around? Is there choreography? Kristen's shaking her head. No, this girl doesn't dance.
No, there's it's very, very almost like a sung monologue. Uh-huh. We really trusted the four actors that we asked to be in the show to really just embody the characters that they're playing, to where we didn't need any dance numbers. We didn't need any special crazy effects. We just wanted them on stage performing.
So we have three actors here. Who are we missing?
We are missing MacArthur Moore right now. He is teaching.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe he was at his park. No, anybody? Anybody
but
with me?
Sorry.
Well, you're going to actually perform a couple of songs, are you not? Or at least one at this point. Mm-hmm. What song do you want to start with? It looks like Chelsea's all ready to go.
I'm always ready to go.
You want to set it up, Chelsea?
Absolutely. This is one of the... Well, you know, basically every song is a different story and different characters. So this is a song about a young woman sort of reevaluating her romantic choices and questioning whether or not she made the right ones.
Don't. Oh, been there. I was about to say, wait, I think that happened
so earlier. Relatable.
I haven't been there. I've made all the right choices all my life. Okay, this is Chelsea Manassieri singing a song from O Dragon's production of Songs.
This song is called Stars and the Moon.
And it's called Stars and the Moon.
I met a man without a dollar to his name, who had no traits of any value but his smile. I met a man who had no yearn or claim to fame, who was content to let life pass him for a while. And I was sure that all I ever wanted was a life like the movie stars led. But he kissed me right here and he said, I'll give you stars and the moon and a soul to guide you and a promise I'll never go. I'll give you hope to bring out all the life inside you and a strength that will help you grow. I'll give you truth and a future that's 20 times better than any Hollywood play. heart. And I thought, you know, I'd rather have a yacht. I met a man who lived his life out on the road, who left a wife and kids in Portland on a whim. I met a man whose fire and passion always showed, who asked if I could spare a week to ride with him. And I was sure that all I ever wanted was a life that was scripted and planned. And he said, "But you don't understand. I'll give you stars and the moon and the open highway and a river beneath your feet. I'll give you days full of dreams if you travel my way and a summer you can't repeat. I'll give you nights full of passion and days of adventure. No strings, just warm summer rain." And I thought, you know, I'd rather have champagne. I met a man who had a fortune in the bank, who had retired at age 30, set for life. I met a man and didn't know which stars to thank, and then he asked one day if I would be his wife. And I looked up and all that I could think of was the life I had dreamt I would live. And I said to him, "What will you give?" "I'll give you cars and a townhouse in Turtle Bay and a fur and a diamond ring. And we'll be married in Spain on my yacht today and we'll honeymoon in Beijing. And you'll meet stars at the parties I throw at my villas in Nice and Paris in June." And I thought, okay. And I took a breath. And I got my yacht. And the years went by. And it never changed. And it never grew. And I never dreamed. And I woke one day. And I looked around. And I thought, my God, I'll never have the moon.
Oh, lovely. Boy, you know, that Jason Robert Brown, if he works at it, he'll learn how to write songs.
Someday.
And that
someday.
Chelsea Manasseri, if she does a little practice, then she might have a voice. That's gorgeous. And it's actually, it's such a different style of what we worked on together, Chelsea. That's it was correct. So great to see the difference in styles. And this music is challenging, isn't it?
Very much so. Indeed.
Step into the microphones, guys.
Extremely, yes.
Very much so.
So I want to make sure we have time for the second song. Is it a long piece?
About the same length.
Okay, so we just need to make sure. Jason Robert Brown is not known for going to the 3-minute, 20-second songs.
I'm going to call him and get him to work on that.
Yeah. Tyler, was it challenging? Is this one of the more challenging pieces that you've worked on as a musical director?
Absolutely. I think that, Jason Robert Brown's music is so technically demanding at the same time that it's so emotionally honest. So you have to, like, muscle through all of the learning and all of the technicalities so that they can be free to,
right,
you know, really bring the characters up.
And what's been fun or interesting about directing this piece for you and Lacey?
One thing that has been really interesting is that we've been trying to get our theater company to do this show for about 3 years
now. Oh, really?
They finally agreed. And the last time I think it was done in Austin, there was about an 8 to 10 person cast. And that's what I usually see for this show. But we wanted to really keep it to the 4 and have them sing everything.
Right.
And so we knew casting this show that it would be that we had to get some of the best singers in Austin, and it's paid off tremendously.
You've done pretty good. You did good. Well, what's the second song we're going to hear?
It's called I'd Give It All For You, and it's a duet between me and Jeff.
Okay. All right. Is there anything to set up or no?
It's about a relationship that that broke off for a little while. I think I left you, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I left you.
Because you're mean.
Because I'm mean. I wanted to go off and explore. We're kind of navigating the treacherous waters of trying to get back together and trying to decide if that's a good idea.
The song is sort of the moment that they finally come back together again.
Okay. This is Kristen Hall and Jeff Chamberlain from Songs for a New World.
I had a house while you were gone. The week after you left me, I found a couple acres near Severna Park. I had a house while you were gone. A house with silver shutters and a driveway laid in marble and thousands of rooms to fill and miles of space to find. And I tried to believe it. It was better without you. I was safer alone. No, I'd give it all for you. I'd give it all for you by my side once more. Oh, I'd give it all for you. I'd give it all to hold you again, to feel I'm completed, to know there and then that all that I needed was you to fight the fear. And now you're here.
I took a trip while I was gone. I cashed in all my savings and bought an Eldorado, drove to Tennessee. I took a trip while I was gone. I drove across the country and I stopped at lots of diners and stared at a million stars and thought I could touch the sky. And I tried to believe it. It was better without you. I was finally free. No, I'd give it all for you. I'd give it all for you by my side once more. Oh, I'd give it all for you. I'd give it 'cause the mountains I climb get higher and higher. I'm running from time and walking through fire. And dreams just don't come true. But now there's you.
God knows it's easy to hide. Easy to hide from the things that you feel. And harder to blindly trust what you can't understand.
God knows. It's easy to run. Easy to run from the people you love. And harder to stand and fight for the things you believe.
Nothing about us was perfect or clear. But when paradise calls me, I'd rather be here. There's something between us that nobody else needs to see.
There were oceans to cross.
There were mountains to conquer.
And I stood on the shore.
And I stood on the cliff. And the second before I jumped, I knew where I needed to be. Oh. I gave it all for you. I gave it all for you by my side once more. Oh, I gave it all for you. I gave it 'cause it's harder to touch the things that are dearer. I love you too much to trust something clearer. I know I fell too far, but here you
are. That is beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. We're plumb out of time. Just tell folks where they can get information when you open and close and the theater that you're at.
We open this Friday, and we run September 2nd through the 17th. This Friday, Saturday, Sunday at 3 p.m., Thursday, Friday, Saturdays at 8. Go to odragontheater.org for tickets.
And information, and that's at the Trinity Street Theater. Yep. Okay, we're plumb out of time. Remember to dial 512-472-5667.
Oh, yes. That's our fall membership drive that's going on right now. We want to hear from you. This is original content you can't get anywhere else.
Nope.
512-472-5667.
And remember, Nicole and I will be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Austin Monitor News is next. We'll see if the CD plays. And if not, we're going to be going right into Austin Monitor News anyway. Let's see.
Extra, extra, a sensation, unrecorded hitherto. There's a man.